Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Your toddler has a fever that does not seem to break. You are a senior who needs a prescription renewal to treat a chronic condition. Your cold is getting worse, not better. For some in Northumberland, it is a call to your physician or, in the lingo of the healthcare sector, primary caregiver. But for those without a doctor, it is a real problem. Where do you go? The maze of services can be confusing. Do you use a virtual visit via a local pharmacy or grocery store? What about a walk-in clinic? Then there is the emergency room in Campbellford or Coburg. If you go online, you can't even find a single list of options for the county. Browse through social media on any given day, and there is at least one person appealing for advice to find help nearby. There are no simple answers. It is one of the complex questions the Ontario Health Team Northumberland is trying to resolve. Today's show is entirely dedicated to figuring out a path through this maze. You are going to hear from three key people tackling the crisis. Susan Walsh, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital, Taryn Rennick, Executive Director for Community Health Centres Northumberland, and Andrea Groff, Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, will be talking to me. There are an estimated 8,000 people living in Northumberland who do not have a doctor or a nurse practitioner. Within the next 2 years, the number is expected to rise to 25,000. The first part of this in-depth interview looks at the role of walk-in clinics and telemedicine. Port Hope's walk-in clinic recently reopened. A new walk-in clinic is opening shortly in Coburg. Plus, another telemedicine service is opening in a pharmacy in Port Hope. It is joining several others in Grafton, Coburg, Brighton, and Campbellford. Listen carefully to decide if what is being done is enough to address the need for access to care within Northumberland. I'm so pleased to have with me today Taryn Rennick, the Executive Director of the County Health Centres of Northumberland, Andrea Goff, the Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, and Susan Walsh, the CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital. Welcome to you all to Consider This Northumberland.
Great to be here, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
I want to talk about the recent addition of a number of walk-in clinics and telemedicine operations in Northumberland County. There's been a lot going on recently. And I want to start with you, Andrea, because you have talked many times publicly and on this show about the demand for services for unrostered patients. Would you mind giving us that background before we dig into this topic?
I'd be happy to, because access to primary care is a very important priority for our Ontario Health Team in Northumberland, also for Ontario Health, also for the ministry. A lot has been focused on the importance of providing access to primary care and primary care teams and primary care services. You know, there's a lot of work that we're doing as an OHT to help improve access to primary care from some of our priority projects from the early days, like the Rural Outreach Clinic, where we have a clinic in Cramie Township that provides primary care to unattached patients. So we use the term unattached, which means they're not connected to a family provider. And a family provider could be a physician or could be nurse practitioner. So we have that rural outreach clinic in Cramie, and then we also have a volunteer peer support program that supports those in the community with some social service needs. And we also have the community paramedicine program, which is one of our early projects that continues to this day. And it's a really successful project. I think right now there's 1,100 clients within that community paramedicine program. Some of the pieces are there's some remote care monitoring. So a patient can be at home attached to some devices, check their blood sugar, check their blood pressure, and those readings go directly to the community paramedicine team. And if there's an alert, they can go out immediately and check on that person. Really amazing ways to supplement our system when we know there's a shortage of primary care providers. We're also focusing a lot on how we bring the county together with all of our resources to support physician recruitment. And there's some really exciting work going on.
Before we get too far into it, Suzanne, I wanted to ask you, can you frame for us, though, put this into context, this demand for services?
Sure. I think what Andrea was describing was the demand that we know is critical to the system in terms of having patients attached to a primary care provider. I'm just going to go back to your original question. So, in terms of what we're seeing in terms of an emergence of, for example, the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic and a new provider that's emerging in Coburg, we're not actually as an OHT directly involved in those clinics. I understand the walk-in clinic is currently a pilot for a year being supported by Northumberland County, and that the actual clinic that's opening in Coburg is a private venture. But at the end of the day, there are additional options for individuals around care. From the hospital's perspective, we are essentially the safety net. So depending on the hours of availability of access to primary care, if there isn't access, then we are often the safety net. So we look at when I think about our eMERGE volumes over year, they've increased by 6% last year alone. And we know that that demand will increase when we see the population increases within the community. So I think that it's important to highlight that there's a number of different options for individuals in terms of accessing primary care, including the things that the opportunities that Andrea had identified through the walk-in clinic through the rural outreach clinic, sorry, in Colborne, the family health team, other sources of primary care. But it's not enough, and that's what we know is the issue.
Well, and I was hoping that we would get to that because, Andrea, if I'm wrong, you talked about currently we have about 4,000 to 5,000 people that don't have primary care. And you also talk about an increase over the next number of years. Can you just go over those figures again, just so we get the clear picture?
I'd be happy to. It's tough to get a really accurate estimate on how many people are not connected to primary care. When you look at our numbers through Healthcare Connect, so that's when, and we would encourage people to do that, when people register through Healthcare Connect that they're in a region and they need access to a primary care provider. When we look at that list, it's probably like 1,300 people that we see. But by our other ways of doing calculations, we're probably over 8,000 in Northumberland County that don't have currently access to primary care. Probably like one in five don't have access to primary care.
Rob, would you mind terribly if I chime in here? Because the
No,
community
I
health
was just
centers.
about to bring you in, as a matter of fact,
Okay.
because I would like to have you give us a picture as well, because you're seeing it from a very different perspective. You're on the ground, you're providing a series of services. What is happening on the ground, what you're seeing, and how your organization is responding to that?
Absolutely, would love to. So from an OHT perspective, you have four primary care organizations in the OHT of Northumberland. Three of them are family health teams, and we are the community health center. All of those primary care models are very important. Family health team models and CHC models are slightly different. Physicians in the community health center model are salaried. They are not billing OHIP. So that's one key difference. In the community health center model as well, similar to family health teams, there is an interdisciplinary group of services surrounding primary care so that your physicians and nurse practitioners are able to refer directly to programs such as diabetes education, mental health and addictions counseling. We have a low-income dental program. We have health promotion activities, geriatric outreach and intervention. So there's a suite of services. They are not necessarily only tied to the community health center primary care clients. So they are available to other members of the community. And looping back to your question about the walk-in clinics, if I may. So we have the two current walk-in clinics. One in Port Hope was municipally driven and supported by Ontario Health Team of Northumberland partner organizations. It's primarily Northumberland County led, and the CHC has stepped in to provide some supports from because we have the primary care expertise, but also because we're co-located. And as Susan mentioned earlier, the new walk-in that will be opening soon in Cobourg is a private venture. So we're very much hands-off. But we recognize that in the absence of comprehensive primary care for all Northumberland residents, that a walk-in clinic is, I hesitate to use the term, but the first thing that comes to mind is sort of a stopgap. It is providing access to those who don't have a primary care provider. And the communications around the Port Hope walk-in have very much focused on that fact that the priority population are those that do not have primary care.
I want to go back just for a moment to something that Susan said, which sounded like she said the Ontario Health Team Northumberland is not involved in walk-in clinics. I was wondering, Susan, could you just elaborate what then is the role or the relationship between walk-in clinics, telemedicine, the Ontario Health Team Northumberland?
Specifically, Rob, what I was referring to is the fact that the Ontario Health Team is not directly involved in the walk-in clinic and the private walk-in clinic that's in Cobourg. However, our mandate is really to create a countywide collaboration of patients, caregivers, and providers. So even though we may not be directly involved, by virtue of the reason that we exist, we would want to partner with any agency that is providing primary care because the important thing is connecting that care to the bigger system. And we are the connectors to the bigger system by virtue of the partners that we have involved. So that was probably a greater clarification of what I was saying.
So when Taryn's talking about the services that she provides and the partnership that she has with the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic, that's the kind of thing that you just described. Am I understanding that correctly?
So I think that there's individual, sorry, Taryn. There's individual. So if you think about the 20 partners that make up the original Ontario Health Team, we all have our individual mandates that we do by virtue of our existence, but we collaborate with each other. So it's a differentiation. The community health centers of Northumberland may be collaborating with the county on that walk-in clinic, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the OHT. Irrespective, it doesn't matter. We want to make sure that we are aware of the services so that we can communicate. And a good example of that was the pandemic. When the OHTs came into existence, we started out with the three main projects that Andrea had spoke to. But then the pandemic hit, and that was a great example of how all the partners came together from a pandemic response collaboratively. And so this is the type of thing that we continue to work on now.
Now I'm confused. And I'm wondering if the
I'm
listeners
sorry.
are. No, it's not you. It's just me. I'm confused only because one of the things that seemed to be a priority was looking after people who don't have a doctor. And we're trying it, and you even said the words yourself, a stopgap measure. And we're trying to connect all these things. And we're going to talk in a little bit about recruitment and other things that are going on. But with these walk-in clinics opening, these are opportunities that people who are do not have a primary care physician, it's something that they can go and they can use in between. The same with the telemedicine. So what I'm trying to get my head around is that every time I seem to want to see these things meshing together under the umbrella of this organization that's supposed to promote collaboration and cooperation, and yet when we talk about walk-in clinics, suddenly I feel like your organization is backing up a little. So can somebody explain to me, why aren't the gears meshing? Why aren't you guys behind these things? Why aren't you encouraging them?
I don't mind starting if everyone's
Please.
Okay with that. I think, Rob, and you saying that you're confused actually raises a really good point, because Susan, Andrea, and I work in the healthcare system, right? So this speaks very much to the complications of navigating. It is a complex system, and it's not getting simpler fast. So you saying that it really speaks to what your listeners are probably dealing with, right? I don't understand the system. I don't understand how to navigate the system. And that is a huge priority for the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland and all of the other 50 plus OHTs in the province. So to your point, I wouldn't use the term that we're not behind these initiatives. However, we have other initiatives, and as you mentioned, we're going to talk about physician recruitment, for example, to the county. However, when other entities choose to lead a project, we aren't necessarily in a position to insert ourselves into that project automatically for various reasons. We can make attempts to do that, or maybe we don't have the resources to do that, or we have a different urgent focus. So I would say that it's not that we're not behind these initiatives. We definitely are behind any initiative that provides better health care and supports to the residents of Northumberland County. But what we do want to do is make sure that we are well-versed and well aware of what some of these services are, so that we can communicate it out and also navigate to those services for the constituents of Northumberland.
Two things I'd like to follow up then. Yep. Is why aren't you leading this? Why aren't you the group that's going out and saying, we need 4 walk-in clinics, we need one here, we need one there, this is what we should be doing, and being proactive, whereas what you've sounded like you just said to me is you're responding to what's going on in the environment. Did I misunderstand?
We're proactive in a lot of ways, which you will continue to hear about. I will say that. There's many things we are proactive. From a primary care perspective, while a walk-in clinic is helpful, there is a lack of continuity of care. What we really want to see in primary care is folks getting attached permanently to a primary care provider, whether it be in a CHC model or a family health team model. And I would like to back up a little and make sure that you're aware of the fact that family health teams have some team-based care as well. So diabetes education and counseling. I don't want my earlier comments to sound like they are lacking in that way. But our focus is to ensure that people end up with permanent primary care. So that is really our goal. We can support these other initiatives. We are spending our energy on comprehensive physician recruitment to the area, which Susan would be very good to speak to.
Before we get off on that tangent, I would just like to come back to Andrea and say, when I was researching for this interview, I really had a hard time finding a list of places I could go, a walk-in clinic, telemedicine. If I didn't want to go to the emergency, there's no list. Now, did I miss something?
To what Taryn was talking about, and to your point too, Rob, the system is so difficult to navigate, to find our way through. And for us, we're all, you know, kind of masters of navigating that system. And when we have family members in need of care, we struggle as well. So one of the things we're working on that should be rolling out in the next few months, I'm really excited about, is a system navigation website. So it is kind of what you're talking about, Rob, so that the people of Northumberland, our community members in Northumberland, our providers, our clinicians in Northumberland can look at this website and see a database based on our whole geography and a little outside of it of all the social services, healthcare services, everything all listed there. And even behind the scenes in that, this is such a cool new application that's coming through. Behind the scenes in that is a referral system, an electronic referral system. So if you're looking for a service that has direct referral from the public to that service, I could put in my referral information and it goes directly to that place. Really exciting. We're really proud that this is coming down the line soon.
When you talk about a referral, could you give us an example just to illustrate that?
A referral, like, you know, I'm a community member and I want to access maybe Community Care's Meals on Wheels program. And perhaps they have a self-referral application. So I can go just search up Meals on Wheels. Great news. There it is. I click on that link and it within that system can send a direct referral.
Susan, can you explain then how these things like the walk-in clinics that are opening up and offer opportunities, the family health teams that offer additional services, and the telemedicine, how do they interrelate so that it helps you do a better job of doing what is most important in an emergency room?
It's all about access. So when someone comes to an emergency room and is seeking care, and maybe they don't have a family doctor, they need an immediate access to care. And it may be, we ask the question, do you have a family doctor? And in many cases, people do, but there are cases when people don't. If somebody has a family doctor and they are treated within an emergency department, that information is fed back to the family doctor so that there's continuity of care. That individual that comes will that their doctor will get information about their visit to the emergency room, why they came to the emergency, what was done in the emergency room, and therefore the family doctor can now pick that up and continue that conversation with the patient and client. When you don't have a family doctor, that becomes a void in terms of where you access where you refer that individual back to. And that's the issue sometimes with walk-in clinics is that if someone goes to a walk-in clinic, again, who do you connect back for long-term follow-up? So what we're trying to do is create more of a longitudinal approach to care as opposed to episodic. There are times when episodic is needed, and that's why walk-in clinics are very popular because people want the issue solved now. But if it's a longitudinal plan, that is not the solution. So we want to be able to look forward to think about what is the long-term solution. And so some of the programs, such as community paramedicine, provide opportunities to connect individuals to individuals who can provide that care on a more longitudinal basis. And that's where telemedicine or the community paramedic program does so many things in terms of supporting individuals. So I think it's trying to help people understand that we understand your need for access in the moment, but this is not just about a single episode. This is about your lifespan and what, how do we connect you to the services? And so our goal as an OHT is even if we're not initiating the program, let's at least know about it so that we can navigate individuals to it and connect them like a safety net. And it's still emerging. We haven't got it. Obviously, it's not there yet. And this is going to be something that takes time. But the collaboration amongst the partners, the addition of new partners, you know, Aldervale has re-engaged with the OHT, which is now initiating a whole conversation and supportive services. So we're starting to see traction. I know Andrea's leading and supporting the primary care physician network, which is a really important tool for getting input from physicians. I could go on, but those are just a few things.
I'd like to come back though for a moment because you make a really seminal point when you say about people wanting care right away. And of course, one of the things that people turn to walk-in clinics and telemedicine is because they don't want to go to emergency room either in Campbellford or in Coburg. And they think, you know, I'll get it. It'll be faster if I could just, you know, take my child who's got a tummy ache rather than having to go and be dropped way down while there's other higher urgent care needs. How then can we support that kind of care? Because I know, Taryn, you offer some care on that basis, you know, just walk in simple stuff that your doctors deal with as well. Maybe I'll throw it to you and then maybe I'll come back to Suzanne about in a moment.
So we do have some urgent care available, but it is only for registered clients, rostered clients of the community health center, if it's from a primary care perspective. If there are other urgent issues, so diabetes related issues, dental related issues, I mean, it depends really what folks are in need of. Lots of people with diabetes will have urgent issues related to medication renewals, medication challenges, reactions, that sort of thing, foot care issues, you know, getting an ulcer on their foot. So that's where we can do the quick visit in specialized areas. For our primary care patients, however, and as is the FIT model and FOS, family health organizations and family health teams, they all in their clinics do offer urgent care appointments. And that is some of the communication we're trying to make sure that community members are aware of is, you may call and ask for an appointment and get put out for a couple of weeks because that's when your provider is booking. There are mechanisms when there are urgent needs, but there's a triage process. There's a triage process behind that, and it's based on individual offices' ability to triage folks into urgent appointments.
Susan, I'll come back to you now, and maybe you can help us understand then this need for people to find care when it's not a high priority, but they want to be able to access it quickly and not have to wait in an emergency room in one of the hospitals.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think that if I had the answer to that question, that I maybe and anyway, I'll leave it at that. It is a really big, it's a big question, Rob, and I think it's not an easy question because it's not a single strategy to solving that issue. And I think one of the areas that is an opportunity is through if you can't be connected as organizations, how do you get connected through digitization? How do you get connected through technology so that at least we can create that network? And so it is not going to be a one size fits all. I think that we will continue to support access to primary care. I think there's just a shortage of primary care. And when I say that, I'm talking about both nurse practitioners, because right now nurse practitioners cannot bill OHIP. So anytime that you introduce a nurse practitioner model into an organization, it is coming out of that organization's budget, which they've not been provided a budget for. So when I think about the system, there's a lot of system issues that are beyond sort of the walls that we can touch as an OHT. When I think about funding models for primary care physicians and what that model is, those are system issues in Ontario, which is why Ontario is putting in a lot of effort to try to solve this issue. But when there's a shortage of physicians or primary care providers, there's going to be a point when many solutions will not fix that issue. And so that's why I think it has to be both an upstream approach and a downstream approach. And the upstream approach is physician recruitment and bringing more individuals into the community, which is work that there's the OHT has been working on specifically. And I can talk more about that when you're ready.
One last question then around this, and that is the concerns that get raised with doctors unrostering patients who use some of these services. I don't know who's the best one to talk to
I'll
this.
take this one.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. What can we do if that is the issue? If I go and use one, I could get myself in a real jam.
I read about that in the paper recently, and I haven't heard that specifically in our county from any members in our county, but I would suggest that people have that conversation with their primary care providers and have that conversation with their clinic and see what their policies and practices are, because it might be that their clinic offers urgent care hours and maybe they're not aware of that. But important that people have that conversation with their providers and find out the policy and if they have urgent care access within their own clinic, because they probably do.
Taryn, you're associated with the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic, and I know that recruitment there has been very difficult because one of the things has been that certain doctors don't want to be involved with the walk-in clinic for this very reason. Can
Right.
you talk a bit about that?
Sure. So the communications piece is huge. Andrea just alluded to it. It's making sure that people are well educated about if they are attached, that they should be seeking care from their primary care provider. There's some complexities around that, though, Rob, because first of all, we are communicating that we're trying to prioritize unattached people. So therein it is not an issue. On Saturdays and Sundays, there are OHIP billing codes that are utilized because a walk-in clinic is considered an alternative to emergency department use. And therefore, it does not negatively impact if someone is rostered to a primary care provider, it does not negatively impact them. So that on Saturdays and Sundays becomes sort of a non-issue. There are a couple of minor caveats. I'm not an expert on OHIP billing because our model doesn't do OHIP billing, but they are minor caveats and it helps on weekends. The other piece I would say is ensuring that patients are aware that what the use of a walk-in clinic is. So a walk-in clinic is, you know, when you're unattached, you might need medication renewals. That's not going to impact anyone else. The other piece I should mention, actually, and I almost lost my thought there. The other piece I should mention is folks who have providers out of town. As we all know, a lot of people migrate to Northumberland County from the city. And at a certain point, that transportation barrier becomes an issue. So while there might be an issue with the billing provider and the rostering provider in the city, if they're patient goes to a walk-in clinic. I think we also need to consider, as does the rostering physician, need to consider the fact that after so many kilometers, after a certain point in one's lifespan, it might be next to impossible to get to Toronto to see your provider, but you haven't left them yet because you don't yet have someone here. So there's a few nuances that make it very complicated. We are doing our best to communicate that anyone who has a local provider should be seeking care from them first.
I want to talk now about physician recruitment because that obviously is very much at the heart of this issue. And so I would like someone to just talk to me about the current situation. What is the current system that we are using to bring doctors and nurse practitioners and other healthcare professionals into our community to provide the services that we need? Who would like to take that, please?
Did you want to start, Andrew, or
I
I
don't
have?
mind starting. So, Rob, your question was, what is our current process for bringing providers into the county? I would say right now we have recruitment committees in each parts of the county, but I think there are lots of kind of siloed, isolated ways that everybody is doing their best to try to do recruitment. I think even though, you know, when you have a provider that's in a faux clinic that isn't attached to a FIT, but just an independent faux, if somebody is retiring, they're reaching out to colleagues, they're talking to friends, they're doing everything they can to bring a physician in to cover their practice. I think Taryn would have a practice for promoting a position and bringing them in. Usually CHCs don't struggle as much in recruiting physicians because that model is kind of attractive for some providers. We have a family health team that is innovating a new model where they're bringing in a foreign trained provider with tons and tons of experience and fast tracking them through the system. It's part of a pilot program, so that's kind of an exciting new pathway for providers to come into the county. And there are lots of different sort of individual ways that we've had some success in recruiting providers into the county, but what we're looking for is how do we bring all those skills, abilities, competencies together and create one unified approach across the whole county so that we can amplify that message and really attract some talent into our county. And then I'll pass it over to Susan Walsh, who will have lots of lovely things to say.
So I just want to take it back again to when the OHT in 2022, when the OHT went through its strategic planning process, it had over 500 touch points with individuals in the community, and access to primary and specialty care was one of those key areas of focus. So this has been a priority, one of the strategic priorities of the OHT. Earlier last year or mid last year, NHH as the hospital, the OHT, and working with the Metropolitan University, TMU, actually conducted an in-depth review of what are the barriers to bringing physicians to this area. And it resulted in two workshops. And I'm just looking at the outcome of the top sort of problem areas were lack of a unified wide strategy, so a coordinated strategy, better ways to market the unique features of Northumberland County, administrative burden and burnout for physicians, better housing and financial incentives, and the need to make doctors feel valued, recognized, and supported. So that was the result of the first session that we did, and there were physicians that were interviewed as part of that process. And because we had the benefit of working with the Metropolitan University, we had some rigor in that analysis. We had a second session where we brought And in the first session too, we had the three recruiters. So we've got Docks by the Bay in Brighton. We have Campbellford, where they do recruiting, and then the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee here in our area. And we brought members of that committee together, as well as physicians, as well as other members of the OHT and politicians, to say, let's focus on the lack of a unified countywide strategy. And from that, we identified that that was the single biggest issue that we need to address. So, as part of our work, we actually went to council and made a delegation to support access to resources to create that unified strategy. And so, right now, it's important to say that the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee is also has done some strategic planning as well. And both I'm a part of that as NHH, and we've just invited the board has invited Andrea in her role as the OHT. So there's work underway right now to enhance this, but it still is not a coordinated activity. And that is our goal as an OHT, is to create a coordinated approach to physician recruitment, because if we're all doing things individually, we're not going to get the results. And that is an important thing to underscore.
I'd like to go back over a couple of things that you said because I think they're really important. And one of the things mentioned was this deputation to county council. And I know that when that did come before county council, there was quite a reaction back saying that we don't need another strategic study. I think the ask was for something like $90,000. What we need is action. Can you tell me what's going on in response to that? Because you just talked about we need to do this and we need to do that, but do we really need another strategic plan?
I think there are two things to look at. There is an immediate need to address this issue. And so anything that has a bit of a longer horizon to achieve is going to feel like it's not action. But you need both. You need short-term strategies, which I do believe the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee is working on, because they did go back and get some additional funding to support a countywide, in collaboration with the county, a video to start marketing, which is part of the strategy that was part of the long-term strategy. So I think there's an immediate desire to fix the short-term problem, because there's going to be another physician who's going to retire tomorrow, and that's going to create a crisis. We are looking at more of the mid to long-term strategy, and work needs to continue with the short-term. And that's where I think there's the rub between this.
How are we going to, though, address this? Because oftentimes when we try to do something as a county, the municipalities push back and there's a lot of frustration at the municipal level. You know, we see debates taking place at the municipal councils where they're groaning about having to use municipal tax dollars to fund healthcare initiatives and to pay money towards this. And oftentimes, too, when everybody's sitting around the table, there's a complaint that, well, you know, Cobourg and Port Hope always get everything and, you know, the rest of the county kind of gets the warmed up seconds. So how do we get over that hump?
I think that's our singular focus. We are focused on the countywide approach. So I think that those conversations will continue to take place, but our focus, and we did say that we will continue in this work, and we are continuing this work. So that will be complementary to any other work that takes place, but that is our singular focus as one of our strategic priorities to continue this work.
So even if the other municipalities don't join in, the West Northumberland is going to push ahead with this comprehensive approach, which involves, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Cramie, Alnwick-Haldimand, Hamilton, Port Hope, and Cobourg. Am I correct in that?
So I just wanted to clarify, the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland will continue in its work to drive towards a countywide strategy with Campbellford and Quinte. They're at this point in time, those three entities continue to do the work that they do on physician recruitment. And there will be some short-term work, I do believe, that will come out of that work. That's as specific as I can be right now, Rob, I'm afraid.
One of the issues that comes out of all of this is the pressure on the public system and the work of private providers to also step into this arena. And part of my research as I was looking at the walk-in clinics and the telemedicine is that the telemedicine tends to take place in a commercial setting, and that the walk-in clinics tend to be more of a public, but now we see that in Coburg, they're looking at a walk-in clinic that is in a commercial enterprise. What does all of this indicate to us as residents, as taxpayers, when we look at these changes in the system, these trends, and should we be worried about the impact that it's going to have on public health care?
I mean, I can speak to a little piece of that. You know, if I'm a primary care provider and I want to start a solo clinic somewhere and somebody offers me free space, maybe that's appealing. We know that the cost to run a practice has gone up, 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 and physician salaries haven't aligned with that. And they're spending so much time doing administrative work, and it's taking away from billable hours. It's taking away from being able to see patients. I know that the Ontario College of Family Physicians is working on this and has prioritized this. And important for us too, like how do we support providers in taking off some of that administrative burden? And we have some things that we're doing. And part of it is that electronic referrals we're supporting with online appointment booking for providers. We have some subsidy for online appointment booking. So we're actually giving money for them to launch these programs so that patients can book their own appointments. That's helping to support their practices.
You know, when I think about that question, Rob, I think about the fact that when there is a void in a system, people will come in to try to fill that void. But what we're hearing in the conversations that we've had with physicians, people do not want to hang up a single shingle anymore. They want to be part of a team of individuals working towards so that the physician can focus on the things that only the physician can do and that other members of the team can support that. So I think, you know, again, as Taryn said, these things do provide an immediate stopgap. The thing that worries me the most is the lack of connection to that person's whole perspective of their, like the longitudinal piece. And so we've got to keep moving towards that. We need people to be connected, both if they receive care in any location, how do we ensure that somebody who is connected to that person receives that information? And so it's the silos that are not good for patient care. It may, you know, create an immediate need, but if you have a symptom and you need a diagnostic test and you go for that test and it's seen that you've got cancer, who's going to follow up with you? The person who may be working that day is not the same person. So there's things that we need to do to make the system stronger.
And we have OHTN partners that were successful in getting funding to expand their interprofessional primary care teams and add more nurse practitioners, roster more patients. We've had some success in expanding teams, and we'll continue to put in proposals asking for more funding to expand primary care teams because team-based care really is the future of primary care.
So what should we be looking for in the next weeks and months coming from the Ontario Health Team Northumberland?
Well, that system navigation tool that's going to be attached to our new revised website is going to be coming. So that's where you can put in your postal code, just put in a request for services, and you'll see the whole listing come up. That'll be coming soon.
And soon is next month, next week.
In the next few months.
What else should we be looking for, Taryn?
I'm thinking about the connectivity. So digital health initiatives are really key. And Rob, have you heard of the initiative from Ontario Health called Patients Before Paperwork?
I don't, but I'm sure my listeners may not have heard of it, so tell us all about
Sure.
it.
Patients Before Paperwork is an initiative from Ontario Health, and I was just checking to make sure I had the name right. So enabling digital initiatives so that And both Andrew and Susan talked about the administrative burnout of physicians that are practicing now. There's another initiative called Ask the Facts, also from Ontario Health. And the reason for these are when physicians have heavy rosters, they have a large number of patients on their roster. And they're sending out referrals and they're having to do follow-ups and they're having to really try and be very holistic about patient care. It becomes administratively very, very taxing. So Patients Before Paperwork and Ask the Facts are both initiatives to modernize the practice of a physician and a nurse or a nurse practitioner, depending on the model, so that the administrative burnout factor is not causing so much pressure that physicians are wanting to leave their practice or they're not able to see more patients. There was a time when we all know physicians who can see 30 plus people in a day. But as we dig into patient care, we find out that, someone might have three or four comorbidities that really complicate the patient care journey. So you're referring out to four different specialists, and you're following up on four different reports back from those specialists. So what we're trying to do in the system is make it so that physicians, primary care providers, and other allied health professionals that are part of team-based care, that their processes are simplified. And the digital health piece of the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, which is very active, is trying to be involved in those initiatives. Things like online appointment booking, secure patient messaging, the ease of referral and system navigation. So these digital health tools are supposed to help alleviate that administrative burnout of our primary care providers. And that's provincial. The key is for our Ontario Health Team is that we're very supportive of those initiatives and we're really trying to drive them forward.
And in some ways,
When,
offering
what?
funding support.
But when it's great that the province wants to do this, but when are we going to see this on the ground in Northumberland?
Well,
Next
we just
month
added
or?
17 new providers to online appointment booking.
Online appointment booking, are we up to 68 or 69 local
69.
providers? 69 local providers. That enables people in the county to log onto their computer and to book with their primary care provider or their dietitian or their mental health counselor. It is also very closely attached to a function that allows communicating with your healthcare provider and vice versa with your patient can be risky from a privacy perspective, Rob. So this tool is enabling people to securely and privately message back and forth, thereby alleviating the need to, for example, come back in a week. Some follow-up can be done quicker and more simplistically. So it's really the system trying to figure out how to simplify processes, but also make sure that patients are being cared for appropriately.
Susan, you've talked about a lot of different aspects of this and trying to pull things and move things forward. What can we look for in the things that you've talked about in the next weeks and months?
I think what I wanted to say a couple of things in relationship to that. I think what you're hearing today is that based on the questions that you're asking, there's a lot of work that's been happening that people are not aware of. And so one of the things that we will be strengthening is our communication of those activities, communication of the partners that we work with, and the access opportunities for individuals within the community. And it would be really important to say that we have experienced partner council, which is lived experience individuals who are also part of the OHT supporting that. So in addition to the things that that Taryn and Andrea have identified, we will be doing a refresh communication to the community because if you're asking these questions, it means that there's many individuals that don't know, and that needs to be a primary piece of work. And the reason that we've been probably slow in doing that is we've been doing a lot of background work, and there was a period of time when we didn't have any staff at the OHT. So we've been rebuilding. We've got the core programs that have continued, but we've been rebuilding. So we are at a we're at a sort of crossroads of transformation. So I think that I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. I've been encouraged by the engagement of Alderville. I'm encouraged by the engagement of our primary care physicians. So I think it's going to be great if in a year's time from now, Rob, I'll give you the invitation to circle back and have a conversation about what's happened.
I'll put it on my to-do list.
All right.
Taryn Rennick, Andrea Groff, Susan Walsh, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
the question. Your pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That was Susan Walsh, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital, Taryn Rennick's Executive Director for Community Health Centers Northumberland, and Andrea Groff, Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.